tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to today's episode of Quick Charge. It's June 13th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. The big news today has to be Tesla. Tesla's latest shareholder meeting is scheduled for later on today, and we're going to watch Elon's victory lap live. That's right, Elon Musk already killed the suspense by revealing the proposals 4 and 5, which are a revote on his 2018 compensation package worth more than $50 billion, which was rescinded by a Delaware judge, has already passed. So it looks like Elon is going to get his big payday and remain Earth's richest man. And if you're a fan of Elon Musk, that's got to be great news. If you're a fan of Tesla, you know, if you think that Tesla is Elon and Elon is Tesla, obviously this is going to be good news for you guys. And, you know, if it's something that you're upset about and you're a shareholder, you know, should have gotten out the vote harder, I guess. As always, Electrek is going to be live streaming the annual stockholder meeting. That's going to be at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, right about the time I'm posting this. You might catch it that way. Fred always does a great job live streaming those, so there's going to be plenty of comments there. And you can tune in tomorrow for the official Electrek podcast with Seth and Fred together, and they'll be talking about that, no doubt. Moving on from Tesla, Ford enables all of its dealers to sell EVs, bringing 90% of Americans within reach of an electric vehicle. Now, this is huge news because Ford courted a lot of controversy with its dealers, upset a lot of people within its dealerships by launching this program called Model E. Model E was a plan that Ford had to enable some of its dealers to sell EVs if they wanted to, but it would also require that they put in hundreds of thousands of dollars in DC fast charging, spend another $100,000 or more training their sales and service staff on how to deal with EVs and be able to answer questions correctly and confidently. Now, after a lot of dealers complained about that, and obviously a lot more dealers signed up and effectively paid for all those upgrades, Marin Jaja, COO of Ford Model E, told Electrek on a media briefing Thursday that it's officially sunsetting the Model E program. All Ford dealers will now be able to sell and service EVs. Opening its network means that more than 90% of Americans will live within 25 miles of a Ford dealership that can sell or service its electric vehicle. Now, I want to read another paragraph from this story that I think is important. I think we need to spend some time talking about. Ford said the move comes amid a widening gap between where EVs are right now regarding range, charging, and performance, and buyers' perception. By introducing a simple, hassle-free way of selling EVs, Ford believes it can help close that gap. Now, this is incredibly critical. I was talking to a group of people yesterday, and we were trying to figure out what vehicles we should bring, or rather, what manufacturers we should invite to an electric drive event here in the city of Chicago. And I made the comment that we should bring some Tesla Model 3s and some Tesla Model Ys. These are obviously the best-selling EVs in the world. The Model Y is the best-selling car of any kind in the world. So I thought it should be represented whenever we're talking about EVs. Tesla obviously should be represented. The response that I got back was that it would be nicer to bring some cars that people can actually afford. These are people that are in the industry, that are in the space, and they still have this mindset that a Tesla is an expensive car, that it's a premium car. I don't want to say nothing could be further from the truth because that makes it sound like Tesla products are subpar. That's debatable. You know, I think they've come a long way since the days when Sandy Monroe was saying they were built like 90s Kias. But I think, you know, the idea that they are somehow an expensive product, that they're out of the reach of the average car buyer, simply isn't true. The average transaction price of a new vehicle in 2023 in the US was over $47,000, close to $48,000. And you can get several Teslas for well under that price new. And certainly if you're shopping used, you can get good deals on Model 3s for almost half that price. So I definitely think that the perception of people who are not familiar with EVs, who are not everyday Electrek readers, who are not like the best and brightest and super smartest people who are watching Electrek daily four times a week, those people don't necessarily realize that Teslas, Nissan Leafs, Chevy Bolts, even Mustang Mach-Es are something that might very well be in their price range. So this kind of thinking coming from Ford, this idea that what they're trying to do is narrow that gap between reality and perception, I think that's an important play. And another important play that Ford seems to be making, Ford is poaching ex-Tesla, Rivian, and Apple talent to help develop affordable EVs. Obviously, Tesla has been going through massive layoffs. They've been laying people off left and right, not only from their product team, but also from the supercharger team and other teams as well. Rivian as well had a couple of rounds of layoffs, especially after developing their Rivian R2 and R3. I think Ford is recognizing the talent that Apple usually brings to the table in terms of R&D, and they're bringing them on as well to develop more affordable EVs. And now that most people will be able to find those EVs at Ford dealers, I think it's going to be good for the EV transformation in the long term. Now, another company that's trying to focus on affordable EVs, Stellantis, made a big announcement at the Stellantis investor meeting. Jeep is launching an electric Renegade for under $25,000. Now, $25,000 seems to be the sweet spot that Jeep is going for. During that meeting, Jeep announced several vehicles. They're talking about a new mid-size utility vehicle, probably something in that Cherokee range that Jeep is known for, a Jeep Recon, which is a little bit smaller, five-passenger, obviously the Wagoneer S, which is Jeep's first all-electric premium SUV in the U.S. But again, the really interesting thing here is that smaller Renegade. Renegade, obviously, is the entry-level model in the U.S., that under $25,000 BEV variant. Quoting Stellantis CEO Carlos Tavares, if you ask me what is an affordable BEV, I would say 20,000 euros in Europe and 25,000 in the US. In the same way we brought the $20,000 Euro Citroen EC3, you will have a $25,000 Jeep very soon. Now, we've seen Stellantis do this a couple of times, where they take a European model like the Alfa Romeo, and they bring it into the US, they try to sell it through their Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep stores. We've seen that with the Dodge Hornet as well. So these are very similar vehicles, similar engineering. Some cynics might say badge engineering. So let's assume Stellantis, that has a history of doing this kind of badge engineering when it launches new products, let's assume they're doing something similar in this case and take a look at that Citroen EC3. Now, this is a cute little SUV. This is exactly what Jeep needs. When I was coming up, Jeeps were cars that college kids drove, especially the Wranglers and the Comanches and things like that. These were affordable, fun vehicles that could kind of go anywhere, and they were practical enough to get you and a couple of friends to the beach or to the dorm or wherever you were going. This seems to be exactly that kind of vehicle. I think this is something that's going to appeal to a lot of people. You can get a sense of what this Citroen looks like. In Europe, you can easily imagine that 7-slot Jeep grill. I think it's going to work out really great. And if something came to the US like this with some AT tires, a couple of Jeep styling cues, a few little Easter eggs here and there, I think it would be a hot seller, especially at $25,000, which does seem to be the sweet spot in pricing that everybody seems to be going for. Now, Honda, however, thinks that the sweet spot is different. They're not looking necessarily at the price of the vehicle. They're looking at that monthly payment, which, let's face it, is how a lot of Americans shop. And the way they're showing that is by undercutting Tesla Model Y by slashing their subsidized lease payments to $399 a month. Now, this is big news because people who are walking into a Honda dealership to buy a vehicle are probably payment shoppers. And they might look to a salesperson and say, I have a budget of about $400, $450 a month. What can I get into? They may believe, like those people that I referenced earlier, that Teslas and electric vehicles are out of reach or maybe something they're curious about. The newest, hottest Honda on the floor, that Chevy-built Prologue, is now available for $399 a month. If you are a suburban dealer, you're crazy not to show that car. You're crazy not to at least put that out there as an option for that Honda buyer that's looking for something a little bit different, who wants something new, technologically forward-thinking. This is a great option for them. But it's worth noting that, again, $399 a month, while it's a good deal, is not necessarily the cheapest lease you can get. Last month, Neil Gaborno wrote an article called 5 EVs that lease for under $300 a month. So now there's another level of affordability there at play. Again, this is a little bit of an older story, but it's still worth highlighting that vehicles like the 2024 Hyundai Kona Electric can be had for about $234 a month. Subaru Solterra in that $240 to $329 range, depending on model year. Hyundai Ioniq 6, that is a phenomenal deal at $264 a month. I think you'd be crazy if you're looking for a new sedan to not at least take a look at that. Toyota BZ4X. Now, I don't usually stop in the middle of an article to give a comment like this. I know a lot of people, since I am new here and I'm a little bit critical of Elon, I like to say things, in at least in my opinion, how they are. People think that that's anti-Elon. To me, that's speaking reality. I'm about to say something actually anti. BZ4X is the worst name in the automotive industry. People who have been in this space for 20 years, Toyota dealers, people who are general managers and sales managers of Toyota stores that I know that I consider friends, can never remember the name of this thing. Absolutely horrible. And the explanation that I got for it from a Toyota marketer was that B stood for beyond, Z was zero, and 4X was as in 4x4 because it's an SUV. So what BZ4X translates, how you decode that alphanumeric, is beyond zero emission 4x. Absolutely horrible. They should fire everybody involved in the naming conventions. Terrible. So that's my opinion. I can't imagine that you have any other opinion. I actually can't imagine someone saying that's a great name for a vehicle. If that's you, you think that's the one, you think that's the name, please let us know in the comments. We'd all love to make fun of you. And finally, the Nissan Leaf, $294 a month in the Northeast, $315 elsewhere. I still think that's a solid vehicle. Again, you have to understand what you're getting into with that CHAdeMO charging. You have to understand that it's not going to be available, readily available for highway charging, road trips, things like that. But otherwise, solid vehicle, zippy, decent range. You don't have to recharge it all the time. Great vehicle for somebody as long as they know what they're getting into. So certainly keep an eye out for that. And obviously keep reading Electrek for more lease deals. Now, finally, we can't talk about EV sales and EV deals without at least admitting to ourselves that the second most popular electric vehicle in the country is not a Tesla, is not even a four-wheel vehicle. It's actually an e-bike. And our master of the two-wheeled universe, Micah Toll, currently is in Europe. He is at the Micromobility Conference there, and he's checking out all kinds of new scooters, bikes, and different ways to get around modern urban cityscapes on two wheels. It is definitely worth reading. I'm not going to get into the details here. Definitely check it out. And if you happen to catch this before 4:30, go check out that live stream of the Tesla shareholder meeting. That's it for today, June 13th. Thanks so much for watching, and be sure to like and subscribe.